Okay, so today we're gonna talk about the Mizbeach HaZahav. I made a mistake. I think in the email I said Mizbeach HaNechoshes. The big question is at the end of Parshas Tetzaveh, we find the Mizbeach. There's a discussion of the Mizbeach HaZahav at the end of Parshas Tetzaveh. That's a little strange, and the reason I'm sure some of us are aware why it's strange. The reason why it's strange is because if you go through Parshas Truma and Tetzaveh, which are the commandments to build the Mishkan and the clothing, so the order is what do we start? And what's Parshas Truma all about? Parshas Truma starts off about Hashem saying, "Vasuli Mikdash v'shachati b'socham." You should build for me a Beis Hamikdash. And Parshas Truma is essentially Hashem commanding the Bnei Yisrael to construct the various kelim, the various vessels of the Mishkan, whether it's the Aron, the Kapores, the Shulchan, the Menorah, the Urios, the Krushim, the Paroches, the Mizbeach HaNechoshes. That's the altar where they bring the sacrifices. That's in Parshas Truma, and then Parshas Truma ends with the Chatzar HaMishkan, talking about the courtyard of the Mishkan and the curtains and the pillars. So Parshas Truma is all about the kelim necessary for the Mishkan, and I would have assumed that the Mizbeach HaZav would be there. Instead, Parshas Tetz, yeah?
Especially because it's next to the Shulchan and Menorah.
Yeah, correct. I mean, it's totally out of place, right? There were three kelim that were. Well, right. You had the Aron in the Kodesh HaKadoshim, and then in the Kodesh, not the Kodesh HaKadoshim, but inside the structure of the Mishkan, you have the Shulchan, the Menorah, and the Mizbeach HaZav. And yet it's not found in Parshas Truma. Only at the end of Parshas Tetzaveh. Now, what's Parshas Tetzaveh about? Parshas Tetzaveh begins with the requirement to light up the. The requirements, if you start at the beginning of, we begin Parshas Tetzaveh, so that is, hold on, that is Perek Tes, I'm sorry, Perek Chav Zayin. That's how Parshas Tetzaveh starts. One second, let me just have it right here. Right, Vata, Pasuk Chav, and Vichu Elecha Shemen Zayin Zach, Kasis Lamor, Tamid. So we begin after Hashem and last week's parsha commanded Bnei Israel to build the kelim and the structure. Then they command them about lahalos ner tamid, the lights of the Mishkan, and the just a nice explanation to this I found in the Chizkuni, where he says that why is the next thing that we mention about the lights? So there the Chizkuni says it's Litzarchecha. The Torah says, sorry, Vichu Elecha, and you should take for yourself, for your needs. Kadesh Shetir Lahechan Atan Nichnas V'yotze. So you know how to get in and out. In other words, after we build the structure, what do you need? You need lights. You need electricity. They didn't have electricity then, but at least you need to light up the place. You need to wire the structure with lights, with electricity. But and Hashem and Kone Chizkuni, Hashem is saying, V'lo Bishvilish. It's not for me. I don't need the light. And he compares it to Vichuli Truma, take from me the Truma, last week's Parsha, make donations, Lishmi, Bishvil Shetiyah Lishmi. So Parsha's Truma is all about creating a structure for God, Lishmi. And maybe we'll get back to that line of Chizkuni at the end of the Shir. The goal of Parsha's Truma is building things so that God's Shechina will come down to earth and will concentrate itself in this Mikdash, in this Mishkan. But you need to light up the place. That's for our needs. That's for us. Fine. I understand why we start off with the lighting, and then the Torah and Parshas Tetzaveh discusses the clothing of the Kohanim in general, the specifics of the clothing of the Kohanim. Then you have this 7-day initiation process, the commandment to bring the daily sacrifices, and then it's almost like, oh yeah, we forgot something. We're done. But wait a second. Didn't we miss something? Oh yeah, there's the Mizbeach HaZahav. That it seems almost like an afterthought. After the whole structure and all the clothing and the 7-day initiation process, everything, you're wired up, the Mishkan is full of lights or some commands. And then, V'yasisa Mizbeach Migdal Ketoret. Oh yeah, by the way, I forgot to tell you. You need to build Mizbeach, an altar that will for burning the incense. And there's a whole discussion about it. So, question is, I would have expected it earlier. Evan mentioned probably around the commandment to build the Shulchan and the Menorah. I would have certainly expected it in Parshas Truma somewhere, whether it would be after the Shulchan and the Menorah, maybe after the, there are two Mizbechos, two altars. So maybe I'd include it there. But why is it recorded here after Parshas Tetzaveh? That's the issue I want to deal with tonight, and we'll talk about at least three different approaches.
Rabbi?
Yeah?
Could it be with the guitars itself, but most took that back from the Machaham Mabes, and therefore it's a separate thing altogether, as opposed to the other Kabbalahs which come from Kadosh Baruch Hu, trying to tell you what to bring on the Mizbeach?
So you're saying Moshe got this as sort of like a secret a little bit. He got it from the Malach HaMaveh, so it's a little different. It has a different. You're saying the source is different.
Right.
Yeah. So we're going to talk about. I mean, I have a little different take on that. The Ramban is going to speak about that, but I think he may go in a different direction. But we'll talk about that, about the source. So we will get to it. I think the Ramban references that. So what I want to do is I first want to go through the Meshech Chachma's approach, the Sforno's approach, and then sort of read the Ramban and tell you what Rabbi Liebtag says, and then maybe come back to the Chizkuni at the end. Because I think that third approach fits into all three, Ramban, Chizkuni, and what Rabbi Liebtag suggests. If you look at the Meshech Chachma says, I hope it's pretty clear, to make it a little larger, the Meshech Chachma says, sorry, okay, when I play with it, then it's, hold on, let me a little bigger. So the Meshech Chachma says, right, so he says, V'yasisa Mizbeach Mikdar Ketores. So the Ibn Ezra asks, Niskasha, Madu lo nichtav tzivu asiyas Mizbeach HaKetores, Rak achrei close parshas of Mishkan u'miluim. He asked the question that we're asking. Why is the commandment to build the altar, the Mizbeach for the incense, why is it only written after finishing the section of the Mishkan and the initiation process? V'haikar, and it seemed the main thing, Ki kol ha-tzivuyim kamoha aron. He says the following, that all of the commandments, like the Aaron, im ein Aaron, ein manichim luchos. If there's no Aaron, can't have luchos. V'chein below mizbeach, we don't have a mizbeach, ein makrivim olas tamid. You can't bring the korban ola. V'chein below begadim, without the clothing, ein kohen rashi lavod. You can't, the kohen cannot serve in the mikdash. Uvlo menorah, without the menorah, eino rashi lahadik neiros. You're not allowed to light candles. In other words, you theoretically you could just have candles on the floor, but we can't do that. Uvelo shulchan, and without the table, ein manich lechem upon him. You can't place lechem upon him in the Mishkan. Aval mizbeach mikdar ketores sheikar lekach, but the mizbeach of the mikdar ketores. So he says, I skipped a little bit, but he says in the middle. He says halo kaimelan shak toras nikdar af im ein mizbeach b'di'evet. Ex post facto, if you're in a situation, let's say you don't have the Mizbeach HaZahav, you can still burn the incense, even if there's no Mizbeach. And he cites the Gemara in Zvachim, the Mizbeach Shenekar Maktirin Ketores Bimkomo. That the Mizbeach that's been uprooted, you could still offer the incense in its place. Veda Rak LeMitzvah. And the Mizbeach, having a Mizbeach is a mitzvah, but it's not Ma'akev, it doesn't prevent the incense being brought. So he wants to say, Meshech Chachma is saying that, therefore, after the Torah mentions all of the halachos about the kelim and the structure that are necessary, that are absolutely required for God's divine presence in the Mishkan, then we mention this, and to tell you, it's only a mitzvah, but it's not ma'akev. Okay, and then he cites this pasuk in Malachim that says the same thing, that just the makom is kasher lahaftir, that the place where the incense is, where the mizbeach is supposed to be, that is kasher. You don't need the kli. So the Rav Meir Simcha Devin, the Meshech Chachma, basically is telling you that his approach is that you can burn the incense without the mizbeach in place. So therefore, he wants to say that. So essentially what he's saying is the reason why it's mentioned last is because it's not necessary. This kli is not necessary to bring God's Shekhinah down to earth. That's the Meshech Chachma. That's why it's mentioned last, to highlight this halacha. Okay? That's Meshech Chachma. Sfarno says something a little bit different. Sfarno says that the... Sfarno says, V'lo huskar zeh ha-mizbeach im shar kelim b'parshas truma. The goal of this mizbeach is not to cause God's shechida to dwell amongst us. Parshas Truma, the Torah says that these other kelim are. Hashem says, "Build me a mikdash v'shachanti b'sochamim." So I'll dwell in their place. The purpose of the structure of the Mishkan and the structure of the Kalim, the form of the Kalim, is to bring God's Shechina down to earth. The goal of the Torah is not to bring God's glory in the house, in the base of Mikdash. The goal of the Korbanos is also, Korbanos are how we communicate, to bring Korbanos is how we communicate with Hashem. And so God's Shechina, so God will, you know, respond to us. It's the goal of the Korbanos is to bring God's Shechina down to earth. Moshe says that you bring Korbanos so that God's glory will appear. He says that the goal of the Mizbeach HaKtores, the goal of the golden Mizbeach, the incense offering, or this Avoda, is after Hashem has accepted and is pleased, as it were, with our service of the Korbanos in the morning and the evening. So then, what are we doing? We're doing this as an after, like to give just kabod to Hashem. Sort of like a dessert to Hashem. You know, we do these things so that we bring these korbanos. And that's like the main course. The goal is to bring God's Shechina down to earth. And after we've achieved that, so we honor Hashem further. And therefore, according to the Sforno, it's after Hashem has accepted our sacrifices. So therefore, the incense service, this Ketorah service, is less significant because it doesn't bring God's Shechina down to earth. It's once Hashem's Shechina is down to earth, so we do this as well. But the Avoda, that the goal that it accomplishes, is less significant than everything else. So in other words, the difference between the Meshech Chachma and the Sfarno is the Meshech Chachma is saying that the Kli itself is not so critical because you can do the Avoda without the Kli. The Sfarnos, the Kli, the Mizbeach, this item is not so critical because you can do the service without this item. And the Sfarno says that the Avoda, the service itself, is not so critical because it doesn't bring God's divine presence down to earth. It's interesting, just as a...
Rabbi,
yeah.
It's golden.
Yeah.
So is it
Hidor? You say, why is it gold? It's to make it beautiful. Yeah. So there's like, you should know that, that there are, you could argue that on the flip side, that it's very much like the Arod, because it's gold like the Arod. In fact, the Eved Ezra says that the Mizbeach HaKtores, the next source, is, it's Kedusha is because it's so holy, it's so honor, it's so nichbad, it's so honorable. So you have Aaron is number one and Mizbach Hazav is number two. Just saying, like,
Rabbi?
Yeah. Let me respond to Sandra. So, the question is, how significant is that? The fact that it's golden could be very significant. I don't know what the Sfardo, says as to why it is golden, according to the Sfardo. But certainly, I think the Ibn Ezra is sort of picking up on what you're saying, Sandra, and he's saying it's not like it's the least, it's actually number two. So then there are different ways to understand it. In other words, you have to deal with the fact that it's the very end. It's like mentioned at the very end. So maybe Ibn Ezra is saying it's like bookends. You got the Aaron in the beginning and you got the Mizbech Hazav at the end. That's number one, number two, bookends. That's certainly not how the Sfardo understands it. Evan, yeah?
Since the Mizbech Hazav was essential for Yom Kippur service, you know, with the Kohen Gadol taking the coals and everything off that and bringing in Karach Kodesh Kedoshim, how would they do it without the Mizbech Hazav there?
What I'm saying is, you could theoretically just take a pan and put coals on and put incense on the coals. And you could, isn't that what they did? No. Well, think of what they did on Yom Kippur. Yom Kippur, right? They Yom Kippur itself. They burnt the incense, not in the mizbeach. They burnt the incense with the pan. They walked in. They walked into the Kodesh Kodashim, right? They had the spoon of incense and they had the pan of the coals, and they poured the incense on the coals. And it made that they didn't even use the mizbeach, right? To make the aroma. They walked into the Kodesh HaKadoshim. So it's certainly possible to do that, right? So let me share with you the Ramban's approach. The Ramban is a different take, and Ramban says, I think he mentions Evan's point here. Yeah, he does. So Ramban says, "Vasisim mizbeach mikdar ketoros. Hidei mizbeach ketoros mina kena pnim imhaya." It's one of the inner kelim. Roy, she has kirenim ashulcha menorah shumenachimam. Exactly Evan's point. Exactly what Evan said. It's fitting that the mizbeach haktorah should be mentioned with the shulcha menorah because it was placed with them. V'chein he's kirim b'maseh b'parshas v'yakel. Avalatam is also mentioned, in v'yakel, with them. But avalatam las kirokan achar b'mishkan v'chol kelev v'karbados. But the reason why it's mentioned now after the mishkan, the kelev, and the karbados. Because it says at the very end that you'll be sanctified by honor. And I'll dwell amongst Bnei Israel. Now afterwards, so after you do everything, you finish everything, you've done everything so that my Shechita should dwell amongst you, then Hashem says more, I want you to make this Mizbech Mikdar Ketores to burn this incense for Kavod Hashem. V'zehu raz shenimsar l'Moshe Rabbeinu shaktoros otzeres ha-magefa. It's a little bit, right? And this was a secret that was given over to Moshe, that the ketores prevents a magefa. So it seems like it has a different function. It stops the plague. Ki haktores b'midas adin. Shenemar yosim ketor ba'pecha b'dvachar ha'pi. So there's something associated with midas adin, the ketores. That when Nadav Avihu died, they offered a ketores. So that's like a midas hadin. That's like a, this. It's very powerful, but it could also be used to stop a plague. If it's done bad, it can cause a plague. So the purpose, they should know my honor when they see this. So the Ramban sort of, I think, highlights about that the purpose of the ketores is to serve as protection. Rabbi Liebtag points out that, in Parshas Achrimos, after Nadav and Avihu die, then Hashem says, Ki be'anan ere'e ala kapor. So he says, Achrimos shnei b'nei Aaron. Hashem says, Bezol shevo Aaron. With this, Aaron will come. And he says, he tells him how, but he says, Ki benon er al kaporos. I'm going to appear in sort of a cloud. The purpose of the cloud, of the ketores, is so that man should not die. Notice when Hashem initially appears, wants to appear to Bnei Israel, Hashem tells Moshe in Parshas Yisro, he says, Ki ba'av he'anan. Hashem first wants to appear with the cloud. The Bnei Yisrael don't like it, so Hashem appears in fire. Perhaps all of the other kelim bring God into our lives, into his house, so that he may communicate with us through the Aron, and so that we can communicate with him through the offering of the sacrifices. And that reflects a closeness between man and God. However, in Yisro, we can't come too close to Hashem, because if we come too close, then God's too powerful for us, so we need some sort of buffer. And maybe that's the cloud of the Ketores. You could say, in fact, that the main purpose of the Mishkan is the continued revelation of Hashem. And essentially, it begins with the Aron, the place of revelation, and it ends with the Mizbeach Hazav, that our actions which facilitate this revelation, that the Ketores, in a sense, creates a screen between man and God, as it were. It facilitates a direct connection with the revelation. And I guess when I go back to the Chizkuni, what did the Chizkuni say? The Chizkuni said, he just pointed out, he doesn't talk about Mizbeach Hazav, but he says that in Truma, it was all V'yichuli. It was all about what do we do for God to cause his Shechina to come down to us, right? So all those things that we talk about in Parshas Truma bring Hashem's Shechina down to earth. But now we could be overpowered by that presence. So then what do we do in Parshas Tetzaveh, or at least some of Parshas Tetzaveh? There we build things that are for us to make sure that we can handle it. And that's the purpose of the Mizbeach Hazav. So we suggested essentially, three broad approaches as to why this is mentioned at the end and not with the other kelim. Either, again, because you may not really need this kli, you may not really need the Mizbeach Ketores, you can still bring the Ketores even without the Mizbeach. Number two is that it's the least of all of the avodos. It's the least of all the services, because essentially it's the main thing is the korban. This is really after the fact, after you've accomplished what you accomplished. It's just something which is just extra, to have extra ratzon for Hashem. Could be sandra. I'm just thinking, if you want to do anything extra, it has to be the best. It has to be gold. Maybe that's the point. In other words, anything that's directly for God, after the fact, that has to be, pure gold, maybe. But then, I just point out that not everyone looks at this as like an added, as an extra. Ibn Ezra says that it's actually the second best after the Aron. So maybe the third approach is that the Aron brings the Kadosh Baruch Hu's Shechina down to earth, and the Mizbeach HaZahav enables us to handle it. Right, and that's perhaps what's reflected, by what Rabbi Liebtag mentioned about the notion of the cloud, and this also highlights obviously the tension that we have in our relationship with the Kadosh Baruch Hu between Ahava and Yira, and we're always vacillating back and forth. I still remember a line by Rabbi Soloveitchik who talks about tefillah, that we're running towards Hashem and running away from Hashem simultaneously, and we feel both emotions at times, and sometimes we feel one and then the other. Sometimes one is stronger and some of the other is stronger. And we have this constant push and pull. And I think that's reflected in the Avodah and the Mikdash. Everything is to bring HaKadosh Baruch Hu down. We want. But then it's like the sun, right? I think the sun, it brings you a lot of warmth. You want the warmth, or brings the light, right? The light of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But if it's too close, so you want to get really close, but you can't get too close. And so that's the push and the pull. And last week is the bringing Kadosh Baruch Hu down to earth. And this is the very end, is how to make sure we can handle it as human beings. So that's the Ava. And we finish off with the Yira. Okay. So that is my